Welcome to the Optimal Health Podcast from Hudson Physicians, getting you back to optimal health when you're feeling sick, stressed, overwhelmed, or run down. Today's guest is Dr. Jacqueline D'Souza. Dr. D'Souza can speak to many of the common chronic health conditions facing our society, including allergies, high blood pressure, diabetes, and so much more. She believes people should not be defined by their disease, and when given the right tools, they can continue to enjoy the life they love. Today, we're going to take a look at headaches from simple to complex. We'll be discussing how to treat those and also help educate our listeners on how to essentially get out front of it. So looking very forward to this one, Doctor. I know you have a very busy schedule and appreciate your time to jump in with us here today. So thank you. And how's your day going so far?
My day is going great, Pete. I'm really excited to be here and talk about headaches. It's something that I'm passionate about and something that I've been studying ever since I was in medical school and residency and have been working with in clinical practice for 10 years.
Well, it's such a huge topic, and I think it impacts so many different people in different ways. I'm looking forward to getting into the meat of that. Before we do that, I always like to kind of get have our listeners get to know you a little bit better. And one of the things on your bio that I was really impressed with was how your grandfather was a physician, and he was known to be very compassionate in his care. And you grew up around that. And for you, that's just spilled into another generation of care for all of us. So can you kind of talk about how that influenced you and inspired you?
Absolutely. So I was born and raised in Mumbai, India. And we lived with my grandparents because my father was a marine engineer and traveled a lot and had to be on board ship. So I was pretty much playing around my grandparents all day long, and particularly my grandfather. He was a physician, and he had finished his medical practice and had retired to Mumbai, India. And I pretty much followed him all day long. And it was an amazing experience because even in retirement, he never stopped being a physician. He never stopped caring and never stopped, you know, being concerned about people. So we had everyone from patients stopping by from all walks of life. It didn't matter if they were tradespeople or if they were the laundrymen, maids, housekeepers, and even some of the more affluent patients that came through wanting his advice on what they could do. And he always took care of them, and they just loved him. He got them better. He kept them comfortable, and they felt empowered by what he gave them, that they always came back or just got healed and were really happy to live their lives. It was such a positive experience growing up around him, because even when I was small and he was taking me on a walk, I tripped and fell and I bruised my knee. And I was, you know, a child of three and a half. And I remember crying a little bit and he just patting me on the head and on the back and soothing me. And just the way in which he tended to my little wound and was not at all life-threatening,
yep,
just changed how I saw what you could do for someone. So it came out of love, it came out of kindness, and it came out of a deep understanding of how to care.
Well, how lucky are the people in the St. Croix Valley area and Hudson Physicians and Hudson itself to be able to have you extend that to all of the patients that you have. And in the area of your work, which has been passionate as well, as you mentioned, you know, you started in your early part of medical school, really being drawn into the headaches and then into your residency. So let's kind of go down that path right now. I mean, I think there's a lot of ideas of what a headache is, but what really is it? And I know there's a couple of buckets, so feel free to kind of go and freewheel, or as we like to say in the business, riff on that one, if you will.
So, you know, headaches have gone through a lot of ebbs and flows over the years, from a headache doesn't really matter to a headache is the worst thing of your life. And really, I would simply break it up into two categories, the simple headaches and then the more complex headaches. And the simple headaches are headaches that are situational. The pain is usually dull and aching. It's not worrisome. It doesn't crescendo. In other words, it doesn't accelerate. It can usually be managed at home. There's a clear trigger most of the time if you're educated to catch it. And there's a clear start and a clear stop.
So in that education part of it, where does that actually come from? So if, for instance, if I had a lot of sugar in my diet and I decided to kick it out, right, and say, okay, I'm just, you know, losing it, and I get a dull headache from that, How would I know that's what's causing that? And is it best to, I mean, where do you find that information? Through you, through resources? Where do you learn and educate yourself on that?
So actually, with simple headaches, I mean, you can Google it. I like the Mayo Clinic website. I also like the American College website. I think going to your physician to talk about this is a good plan. Basic headaches, though, that are, again, transient. So if you have, for example, a simple headache would be a caffeine withdrawal headache.
Yep.
Right? So let's say you drink your 1 to 2 cups of coffee in the morning, and you do this habitually every day for weeks on end, and then one day you get called in on an emergency. You forget to drink your coffee. Later in the day, you notice this dull, progressive, pounding headache. What you can do at that point is drink half a cup of coffee and see if it goes away. Typically, something like this should abate and should improve. So sort of recognizing what triggered it, what caused it, and then you can simply fix it, is one way of knowing that this is a benign headache, right? It has a clear start, a clear stop, and then a clear treatment. You can take caffeine, you can take a little bit of ibuprofen or Tylenol, and then the headache goes away. This is not worrisome. However, if the headache continued on, it just got progressively worse. It affected your vision. You were losing your sense of taste and smell. You were losing, you know, you were losing some sensation in your face. That's a progressive headache. And at that point, it's crossed the threshold from simple and gone to complex. And that's when you need to seek medical attention.
Okay. So when you slide into the complex, what does that mean exactly? Obviously, there's physical traits that lead you to recognizing that. But if you were to try to define it specifically, what makes the complex different from that of a simple, at least from how you look at it, from the medical field?
Yes, so absolutely. So a complex headache would be sharp. It would be abrupt. It would be accelerating. There might be changes in vision. And sometimes, like, you lose your central vision. Sometimes you might see squiggly lines in your peripheral vision. Sometimes you start to see halos. There's sometimes facial numbness. There can be body numbness, tingling, loss of function where you can't move one side of your body. If there's a fever, if there's any type of spinal rigidity, these are the kinds of worsening symptoms that take the headache out of the simple range and put it into a complex range where you should seek medical attention.
What do you think? I mean, you've obviously studied this for a long time. Some people have that, some people don't. Is this naturally caused, or is what causes that whole process to get into the complex? Is it hereditarial?
Sometimes it is. So in terms of complex headaches, there are multiple types of complex headaches, right? So some of it can be genetic. For example, migraine. You know, migraine is a complex type of headache because there's a vascular component and there's a musculoskeletal component. And we've learned that over time of how we treat it. We have to treat both components to really help a migraine. A fair amount of migraine is genetic. It's also gender-based. Women get it more than men. It can be based on estrogen levels that are fluctuating. So at times of menstruation, menopause, prepubertal and postmenopause, where they're getting those hot flashes, the estrogen levels are changing, they can have these terrible headaches. And they are not fun to deal with. They're actually fairly crippling. So that's an example of a genetic type of headache. Some of the other headaches, though, that are severe, that are not necessarily genetically related, they can be things like thunderclap headaches, where it's a sudden, you know, sharp bang of a headache that just comes on very suddenly. It's crescendoing. It's like their worst headache of their life. Something like this, they need to seek medical attention. Other headaches, they might have had a trauma. Let's say they were riding an ATV, it rolled over, they got crushed. Now they're developing traumatic headaches. Those headaches need to be evaluated in the emergency room. We talked about some of the migraine headaches. There are two kinds of migraine, really. There's the episodic migraine, where, you know, they get the throbbing headache on one side, with nausea and vomiting, and they can get light and sound sensitive. Sometimes they have sinus pressure and pain too, which is actually more likely migraine than sinus. Weather can change it, sleep disruption can change it. Those things, they should seek medical attention, because it's not just the headache itself. It's the vasospasm that can occur over time that can predispose them to little strokes and changes in the brain, which can be problematic for them.
Now, one of the things we talked about yesterday, you brought up the sinus part, is a lot of people sometimes misconstrue a migraine headache for a sinus headache. That's not really the same, correct?
You know, so it's interesting that you bring this up, because in the regular world, when patients think that they have sinus pressure and they're diagnosed with a sinus headache, 90% of those headaches meet criteria for migraine, according to the International Headache Society.
Incredible.
90%.
That's huge.
And amazing, right? So a lot of these sinus headaches are untreated migraine if we're not catching it in the clinical setting.
Okay, then if they're not caught, do those continue to progress? Does it get worse? Where does it go from there?
It depends. So like I said, there are two types of migraine. There's the episodic migraine that occurs intermittently and goes away. It usually lasts, you know, under 72 hours and it's gone. There are other patients who get the chronic migraine where they get it for days at a time, and they can get up to 15 headaches or more per month. So it depends on which category you fall into. If it's episodic and you're getting the sinus pressure, that may actually be part of your migraine presentation.
Interesting. And so how do you diagnose that? So if I came in and said, you know, I don't know what's going on here. When you look at it, how do you know? How do you determine that from your position?
So the way I do that is I take a history. I do a good physical exam. I look inside your nose and mouth. I tap out your sinuses. If needed, I would even do an X-ray, which is a sinus film, or I could do a CT, which would read it. I also keep questioning the patient regarding headaches. If they know when this headache is coming on, if they know when the headache is going away, if they're having any other associated symptoms, blurry vision, you know, light or sound sensitivity, and then do they feel like they're in a migraine fog, and how long is that lasting? Usually it's based on the overall presentation rather than just one single symptom in isolation. Mm-hmm. If it's a true sinusitis, they should have a runny nose, you know, they should have yellow-green drainage. You should be able to see something on the CAT scan. It's going to show you that it's got that patient has sinus disease. This is not an easy diagnosis to oftentimes make, right? Because you obviously are not going to do a CT on every single patient. That's not really good medicine. We don't want to expose everybody to radiation for no good reason. So that's where your clinical skills of being able to tease this out and pull this out help you. And then also how they respond to medication and what their history has been. So did antibiotics work? Did the nasal sprays work? If it didn't, it may be that they've got migraine or that they've got both.
So when you go through this process and you come up with a treatment plan, how do you usually shape that? And what, you know, I mean, there's a lot that has to go into this, obviously, from what you've just explained. And my jaw was dropping a little bit saying, well, I don't know how you do all of that. That's impressive. So how do you develop, you know, because you do have to look at a lot of factors. How do you develop the treatment plan?
I develop the treatment plan by actually communicating to the patient what their signs and symptoms are, and then trying to understand what their symptoms are, what their body is telling me as much as what they are telling me. And then the physical exam helps guide it. If I know that I need additional studies, I'll get those too, which really help add in evidence to what they could have. And then ultimately, you have to, you know, the patient and the doctor have to formulate a treatment plan that they can put in place. And then I have them follow back to see how they're responding to the treatment. And this is a very important step. You know, when I see a patient and we come up with a plan, we just have a working diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So we say that, yes, you have sinus disease. We're going to treat it with nasal sprays. We're going to treat it with antibiotics. We are going to then see that these symptoms abate. But if they don't abate, or if they're just partially better, then you know you've only treated part of the disease and you need to keep progressing on. So it's very much, I would say, open patient communication and making sure that they get back to their normal status.
So from the simple to the complex, are there things that people can do to mitigate anything on their own before, you know, after they've seen you and to fully understand the problem? Is there anything you can do to lessen the impact?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, understanding the type of headache that you're having, And knowing that it's a simple headache is, you know, a huge part of the battle, because then you can fix the simple headaches at home. So, example, caffeine withdrawal headaches are very common. This is something you can treat at home. Another one that's actually quite common is patients are teeth clenching at night. This causes headaches in the temporal areas. It also causes TMJ issues. This can be simply remedied by a mouth guard and biofeedback, relaxation therapies, you know, acupressure points. This is where relaxation can help a lot. It's simple, it's easy to fix, and if you can do that at home, all the better. If you need additional medical attention, we can do that as well. Another type of headache would be musculoskeletal tension type headaches, where they're usually positional. You know, you slept funny on your pillow at night, or you're sitting at a desk in a certain sort of contracted position. You're not moving around and stretching. This can cause head and neck pain. Fairly easy to remedy with ergonomics and making sure you're in alignment and you understand body position. These are the things that heat, ice, tiger balm, massage, again, pressure point, you know, relaxation can help. And then things like that are food related. And a lot of the times these are insidious and patients don't realize it, but things like MSG, aspartame, like you mentioned, you know, sugar in the coffee, people are using substitutes for sugar. Things like aspartame can really cause a terrible headache for patients that are not fun. And this is something that you can avoid. So red wine, cheese, MSG, and aspartame are some of the good, some of the triggers for headaches that are easily avoidable. And then other things that patients may not realize, things like hypertension and, you know, obstructive sleep apnea can cause headaches without them realizing it. And they're more insidious. And this is where routine physical can pick up some of these things, which can be easily remedied. So these are some simple ideas on what you can do to abort simple headaches in at home with simple remedies.
Isn't it incredible how there are so many different things in a person's daily life that could trigger and lead to that? I mean, all the way from sleeping to a sleep apnea to products that you take. And I have, you know, I have a question on the coffee thing. I don't drink it, but if you get a headache from something you don't drink, do you think it's, is that like not good to drink? I mean, should is, I mean, if you have a withdrawal from drinking something that you don't drink, it's like coffee. Is that really a positive product you're putting in your body? I'm not sure. I'm just asking for a friend, I guess. I don't know.
So caffeine actually is, I know, I consider caffeine a drug. I actually use it to wake me up in the morning. I don't require a lot. I just need a little scoop, and that's all I use. But it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, okay.
It gets you up and alert in the morning. Patients use it all the time. There's nothing wrong with it, actually.
Good.
Caffeine in its form is fine. It's when we drink too much and we don't do it consistently. So if you're doing 2, 3, 4, 5 cups a day, half a pot, if you forget to drink it, that's when you're going to have the headache.
Got it.
Interestingly, patients with migraine are more sensitive to caffeine withdrawal than non-migrainers.
Really?
Yes. So that's where I tell my patients with migraine to cut back on their coffee to a manageable 1 to 2 cups. So even if they forget, their withdrawal won't be as severe. They'll know why and they'll know what to do, that they can rectify it.
So that exasperates it then. And you just, if you can control that, that's a huge thing.
It is a huge thing.
Okay.
And you can still have your cake or your coffee and drink it too, if you will.
Okay, then I'll do that. Minus the coffee, I'll have the cake. So in terms of when I would come see you, when does it become, you know, so we've defined when it goes from simple to complex, and that line seems pretty clear, and I think a lot of people would think it's still simple when it's actually complex. So at what point, what marker would you say, you know what, you got to come see me, get in here, and let's figure out what's going on?
I would say gut instinct. Number one, if you don't feel that this is right by you, if you've got this funny headache that doesn't make sense, just be seen. Regardless of any of the risk factors that I talked about, gut instinct. If a patient believes something is wrong, if a mother believes there's something wrong with her kid, if a dad believes there's something off, just bring them in and let us evaluate them. I would say gut instinct is the number one thing that helps us find out what's wrong with the patient. And it starts with the patient.
Correct. You know, you always hear the term, you know, you need to advocate, you know, you have to let doctors know what you feel and what's not right. And sometimes I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure you see all sorts of different scenarios, but sometimes do you have to be tactical to learn exactly what's going on? And do you feel like you're getting the full story?
Yes, I do have to be skillful in understanding what brought the patient in. Invariably, though, patients are telling me what brought them in. It is my job to sort through it and see where that symptom falls and fits. I had a patient come in with a recurring headache. This was a young gentleman. He was in his early 40s. He just said, I have this terrible headache at the back of my neck, and it's just going to my head. And he looked healthy. He looked fine. He said, I had this before. I went to the ER. They said nothing was wrong with me. And this was like 2 years ago. When he came in, his blood pressure was 200 over 100.
Oof.
Yes. He was having, you know, hypertension crisis. He had accelerated blood pressure that had been prolonged and had been sustained. He believed that he was young and that he didn't really have anything wrong with him. So why does he need to see a doctor? It took a headache and stage 3 blood pressure to bring him in.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is how he finally said, something's really off, something's wrong, I need to go in.
Did you?
And then we could start the process.
Good result with that one?
Yes. So what we did, I mean, the first thing I did was lower his blood pressure, you know, gradually and systemically. Once he went from 200 to 150, the headache abated a lot. So within a few days, I mean, it was down. Then we got his blood pressure slowly back down to the 120s, which took a couple of weeks to do. In the process, we did a CT scan of his brain. And what we found is that he had chronic small strokes, if you will, because of this longstanding high blood pressure. So this is where, no wonder he's having headaches. He's getting, you know, this pounding blood through his head. Yeah. It's so hard for him to manage. And he's in the peak of his production years, right? He's got a young family. He's got a wife. He's got a full-time job. He's juggling a lot of things. He doesn't expect to be ill.
Amazing. So that was my last question for you was going to be, can you share some success stories along the way? I think we just heard one. That's absolutely fantastic. And it all comes down to listen to yourself and don't be shy.
Yes.
Get in. And you're there to take care of it. And you've got the ability to diagnose and to fix things. Absolutely.
Yes. I think one of the most rewarding things about headaches is that this is something that is treatable, manageable, and it's hugely empowering to patients. Imagine a patient who has chronic migraine, who has more than 15 headaches a month, and they have finally realized, you know, that it's taking them out of school events and it's taking them out of life events, it's hurting their job performance, and they're just not, you know, moving through the day being fulfilled and living their best life. And we start treating them and using medications and interventions to reduce those headaches to 10 a month and then 5 a month. Or we use chronic Botox injections to help them decrease that muscle spasm, which then helps them control their headaches to where they are not spasming and have this terrible pounding headache several times a week. It's life-changing. And it's something that is so fascinating to be able to do and to actually take patients who have terrible headaches who are not functioning and give them, you know, their life back. I think that's one of the most rewarding things that I do, and I definitely, I think, got that from my grandfather.
Well, that's a blessing for all for you to be able to pass that on, and I think we all know of people who have run into issues where they can't go to a wedding because the migraine has come on so quickly and has been debilitating, and the quality of life, you always see is someone laying on the couch saying this is so bad, and there's not much as a loved one you can do about it. But to know that there's an opportunity for that to be addressed and that you're there to do that with all of the great things that you can do is absolutely a refreshing thing for the community, and that allows people the ability to live the quality of life that they love, which is what was basically mentioned in your bio, and I think it's really important to all. So if you're feeling this way, Dr. D'Souza, I think it's a good idea for them to get on the appointment line and come on in and see you. And by no means is this a sales pitch. This is actually a pitch to say, if you're not feeling right that way, absolutely get in and have a better quality of life.
Absolutely. You know, on a more personal note, I have three of my best friends who suffer from chronic migraine. And I never realized just how bad it is until I tried to attend events with them. And one of my friends, we were on the way to a ballroom dance event, and all of a sudden, as we just entered the car, she said, "Oh no, I'm getting a headache." And she was going to get one of those god-awful migraines that she would get several times a month. I was there with her, so I knew what to do. And I, you know, I gave her the rescue treatment, and she was fine and able to continue. And then she ultimately ended up getting chronic Botox injections, which is something that we can do every 3 months. But when I saw how it brought her life back, I trained to do this so that I can give patients Botox injections and I can reduce their headaches and give them the quality of life that they deserve in the here and now. You know, so I just think I've seen this in practice where it seems so daunting when you get this pounding headache and you can't think, you can't focus, you can't concentrate, you can't go to your school events, your PTA events, your sports events, and sometimes to church, sometimes to work. This doesn't have to be the case.
I mean, if it gets in the way of earning a living, that can be really make it even worse, I suppose. One final question here on the Botox part of things. Can you yes. explain that process and where it goes, how you do it?
So actually, there's something called the PREEMPT trial, and what this is an FDA-approved protocol by which patients with chronic migraine can get a treatment with Botox every 84 days to keep their headaches at bay. It's a preventative treatment that really works if you're the right patient for it. So in other words, if you failed medication treatments, injections and other things, and you're having more than 15 headaches a month, they're lasting 8 hours or more a day, you're having all these associated symptoms, it's affecting your quality of life and quality of work. This is where you actually fit into these chronic migraines, not just the episodic ones. These are headaches that are hard to abort. They last more than 72 hours. There's actually a treatment plan for it. It's FDA approved, and we have done wonders with it. I mean, it takes the patient from having daily headaches to sometimes coming in and saying, you know, Dr. D'Souza, I can't remember the last time I had a headache was.
So after this procedure is executed, can you walk right out and just go on with your day then? Or is there a little bit of recovery time? Okay.
It's lovely, actually. I mean, you're doing several subcutaneous little injections in the forehead and in the scalp and a little bit in the neck and in the shoulders. It's a very safe procedure. We've used Botox for over 30 years. This is tried and true and very teased out. It's a strict protocol. It requires a strict training program, which I've gone through. I've completed all my master classes in it so that I am an injector with experience. And what we do is talk to the patient about what their options are and what we can do. We usually do a mini presentation so that they understand what we're going to do, so that they're totally comfortable with it. We make sure that the insurance plan covers it because it's otherwise very expensive to do. And if they meet the criteria, most insurance plans will cover it. Once we do this, then we start the procedure with them and we see how they tolerate it. But once you get your Botox injections, you can, you know, go home, you can drive. It shouldn't be an issue. You just can't sleep on your face or do heavy activity or rub the areas on the sides because we want to keep the Botox in those areas, in those muscles, so it can decrease your spasm and be most effective.
So don't touch it. Right?
Don't rub it.
Yeah, just
don't
leave
rub
it.
Yeah, don't sleep on your face.
Yeah, now the best part is now that you can't do that, you want to do that. That's just, right? That's how it always goes.
You know, the truth is chronic migraine patients, though, they're the best patients in the world. They are ones who try and try and try to soldier through their day.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are the least likely to complain about the headache. They try to come to work and muscle through this. They don't need to. We can just help them. We can just help them live their best lives. It makes me nearly cry when I think about my parents who had this for so long. And when they got on Botox, it really just changed their lives.
Wow, that's amazing stuff. And I hope everybody hears this. That's very important things. Dr. D'Souza, any other final comments for you regarding our discussion of headaches and treatments and how to get better from this?
I think if anything, again, one is trust your gut. If you think something is off, you know, get medical attention. To think about what could have triggered your headache. Maybe this is something that is fixable. Maybe this is a food or lifestyle pattern that is easily remediable. And then three, live your best life now. With headaches, it may seem insurmountable when you have them, but really there is lots of light at the end of the tunnel to where you can manage these fairly easily by just understanding the basics and how to treat, where to treat, and what to avoid.
That is outstanding stuff. Thank you for joining us on Optimal Health, the podcast from Hudson Physicians. Dr. Jacqueline D'Souza, you can see her at Hudson Physicians. If you already are, you're very lucky. She does great work. And I know those that have listened to this podcast will be much better for it. So thanks for taking your time out of the day and making a difference.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Thank you, Dr. D'Souza. And it was certainly a very enlightening program with you today. That's going to do it for this edition of Optimal Health. If you want to learn more, check everything out at hudsonphysicians.com. For Dr. Jacqueline D'Souza, I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.